Hey everyone! Before we get started, I just want to let you know that your input can directly make our shows better. One of the biggest ways to support your favorite shows here is by rating and commenting on iTunes. All of our shows are available in Apple Podcast form on iTunes, and all you have to do is search for AfterBuzz and your favorite show title. Once you're there, leave the show a rating and a comment on why you like the show or any comments you have for the hosts. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to continue to bring you the best shows we possibly can.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to the show. Welcome back. We're here to talk Riverdale Season 2, Episode 9, Silent Night, Deadly Night. We found out who the Black Hood is, and it's epic. We can't wait to talk about it with you guys. We're so excited. It's almost Christmas. Let's get some presents in the form of reviews of this show. See you guys soon.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Exactly. Yeah,
classic,
there you go.
Bon Jovi. Why not?
Nobody even knew the song existed until right now.
No.
I'm really happy you introduced me to it. I'm not going to lie.
But it's got a music video and everything. And
so it's legit.
And it's in the best Bon Jovi phase when he looked like a woman, which is great. It's a really good phase.
Lesbian aunties. Yeah. Let's go.
It's excellent. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV. We're here to talk Riverdale. We're excited. We're back. It's episode 9 of season 2. God, just look at him. Look at the mane. So we're back. We're here talking Riverdale. It's the middle of the season. We have Christmas coming up. We found out who the Black Hood was. I lied. It wasn't epic. It was a huge disappointment.
Your intro made me, like, it made me believe that I enjoyed the show more than I really did.
Yeah, Ben is selling here, okay?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't call the episode itself an enormous disappointment. There was parts that I enjoyed, but that part of it specifically was a bit of a letdown. So let's get straight into the episode. But before we do, let's introduce yourself. Sam D on my left.
Hey guys, I'm Sam Davidson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43, and I have been following your chat in the live chat for the past 2 hours. I love it. I love you guys. Keep on going.
Joelle Monique.
Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
We got Frank Moran.
I wish I could say that this episode got me as amped as I'm feeling, but you know, I always want to bring my amped game.
Are you attributing this to Bon Jovi?
Yeah, it is. It is. That's true.
The self-retellings
of John Bon Jovi. Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie.
It's a decent album, 7800 Fahrenheit. It has the single In and Out of Love as well as this single. My name is Ben Bateman. You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media, Twitter, Instagram, here on AfterBuzz TV. This is my favorite show on TV. Just want to remind everybody of that. All right, so let's get into Riverdale. What are you laughing? Did I say something funny?
No, I would not have known that had you not mentioned
it's
that.
It's almost as though we talked about the Vampire Diaries. Yes. It's like every, you know, sorry, I did it. You know what? It's done. Never mind. You guys are talking about it in the chat, okay?
So true story, I'm just going to take a non-sequitur 30-second explanation here. In high school, I went to an alternative high school called Nova in Seattle, and there was a deal where if you got sponsored by a teacher, you could teach a class. And at 15, I thought that I knew enough about rock and roll history that I got sponsored by a teacher to teach a class, the history of rock and roll. But I was so obsessed with 80s hair metal bands that, like, the majority of the class was just running through, like, 85 to 89 and just, like, talking about, like, the peak era of hair metal. I taught, like, weeks and weeks of classes on, like, the best Bon Jovi album, the best Poison album, the best Warrant album. And this is just bringing me right back to
That's
it.
Amazing.
So there's my story.
At what point did your teacher regret sponsoring you?
They didn't. The other class that I taught, which you guys would like a lot more, was called Comparative Studies of Pop Culture and Teen Trash Television. Ooh. And that was about the OC versus 90210.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, it was great.
I don't like the word trash regarding those two shows, I mean, that would be fascinating. Yes.
No. I loved the OC.
Also, great title. Way to bring students to you.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Somebody I went to high school with posted on Facebook the other day, my least favorite class in high school was Ben's the OC class. I hadn't heard from her in, like, years. It's like, what a dig.
That's great.
All right. So we found out how the Black... I think we should start with the fact that Svensson's the Black Hood.
Boo.
Is this... This isn't real, okay? This cannot be the end-all be-all of the Black Hood.
This cannot be the end.
No, it's just... freaking ridiculous.
It was crazy anticlimactic.
Yeah, for a fall finale, I mean, you really want to set it up. Like, you want people on the edge of their seat, like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And now I got to wait until January to figure out what's going on. And this episode did not deliver on that.
It had to be right there in front of us. Because if it had been I that just felt like the classic TV thing of like, we're going to fake you out with the finger, but then it's just like this guy that was right in front of you the whole time kind of a deal.
Yeah, but we didn't. To me, that only works if you introduce that character, like, way earlier, which I think is something Sam recommended, like, several weeks ago when we first introduced her to the janitor. She's like, I feel like this guy's coming in late. If we could have maybe gotten, like, even just a scene or two here or there, 30 seconds max. You don't need a lot. But having introduced him at the point of, like, the murder, it kind of kills, like, I really wanted to be somebody we knew, someone we enjoyed, preferably, so we could be like, the hell is going on? Like, why? At one point, I said that it looked like a young butt. I really thought it was going to be a younger person. Yeah. And then we're going to get one of the high school kids.
So he buries an empty coffin. Are we 100%, like, because there was definitely some stuff at the end that made you kind of second guess, was that really the Black Hood, right? Like, Betty looking in the fire and the way that they're talking, someone's taking pictures of Archie, or Archie and Veronica there.
Yeah.
Like, there was definitely some like, they didn't ever go back to Tony Todd. He's just in the one episode as this creepy guy who picks up. You know, was that the Black Hood? Is that something that's going to come back around?
I could see it being somebody like Svensson being set up to do this.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
definitely.
Jasmine Jones in the chat says, a janitor can't be the Black Hood. It has to be someone else. I still think Betty's brother could be a part of it somehow. I agree. Yeah. He's coming in very fast. I mean, I think we're going to meet Betty's brother probably, I would say, February latest.
Mm. Yeah, It was anticlimactic, but the show thus far has felt too smart, too good in the way that it's been written and plotted.
Totally.
For that to really be, like, the end of the first half of the season.
There was a second that gave me pause when Betty is by the fireplace and she's holding the hood. Yeah. And, you know, Jughead's giving this monologue saying, like, she knows it's not over yet. But her eyes seem more green than usual in the shot. Like, they've maybe enhanced it. And yeah. I noticed that when we get that moment with Archie in the previous episode where he's looking Svensson in the eye, like, the eyes don't quite match.
Totally
and
agree.
So I'm wondering, like, if it's either a completely entirely different person, or, again, going back to my classic magic, because I just really wanted in Riverdale, if it's something along those lines.
Green equals magic,
like,
right?
Typically in cinematic language. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but I did notice something different with Betty's eyes, and I thought she was going to put the hood on. I didn't know what was happening.
I really thought it was going to happen too soon, girl.
Well, not that she was going to put it on, but I feel like we never really paid off when she did put the hood on. That would seem to be a big point about her recognizing what she saw in the reflection. So it's like, Svensson does not satisfy the reasoning for that. So I feel like there is somebody else behind the Black Hood.
And Billie Jean Girl says, the janitor was a black herring. Or I did this last time.
A red herring?
What's wrong with me?
I think black herring.
No, I think I've changed the color every time I've said red herring.
Let's start black herrings, guys.
It's a rainbow herring. He was, and he's dead now, you know? Yeah.
Right.
All is not well in Riverdale.
Yeah. Or it's just a misstep from the show. I'm not sure. It could have been a misstep from the show, and then they tease you with some of this other stuff to make you think that maybe there's more going on, but in fact, they haven't decided if they're going to revisit that storyline, and they wanted to tease the possibility of going there.
I don't know I wouldn't say it's a misstep in that storyline. I just think the execution wasn't as strong as it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm all cool with being a misdirect, and Svensson is just a rainbow herring for the Black Hood, but I just wish it had been executed better to really kind of, like, hit the beats that you wanted to feel, like, really satisfied by the end of it.
So they reveal a lot of stuff in the Archie and Betty on the quest to find this conclusion out, right? You find out a lot of stuff about Betty's heritage and about her grandfather, and then about, Nana...
Blossom.
Nana Blossom. and this whole storyline, you know, with the devil's hand and all this stuff. And during that whole setup, all I could think to myself was when Betty's like, I'll expose the Sisters of Mercy if you guys don't help. And I wanted to be like, why haven't you just exposed them already?
Anyway.
What are you waiting for? Like, if they like tortured your sister, like, what the hell's the matter?
She knows she'll need leverage against these crafty nuns one day.
I guess that didn't make any sense to me.
Well, I mean, that was Alice. I swear, it's literally like, maybe Dark Betty is Alice.
Yeah,
that is her exact personality. And Alice loves blackmail. Oh, does she love it?
She does. She does.
I don't know. Do you think, like, Alice loves blackmail, or she just loves exposing things? Because she never really uses any information she gets to blackmail people. She just uses it to expose and write articles and out things.
Right.
That's fair.
It's still kind of blackmail, even if you don't do it.
There was... So, all right. Well, let's talk about the elephant in the room, which is the kiss. That so something that all of us have seen coming, right? There was going to be the Archie Betty thing, and it was going to happen sooner than later. But they didn't totally go back there. They just gave us this kiss in a moment of crisis in the car. And I thought it was really interesting at the beginning of the episode after Secret Santa. They're talking, and Archie says to her, "I don't want to be that guy," but he's talking about something else. He's talking about something else because he's talking about seeing Moose, and I don't want to be that guy that thinks about only the Black Hood and the pain caused to my friends. But he says it to Betty, and it's right after the end of last week when they look over at each other across the way, and there's like clearly these sparks again. And I felt like the way that he said it, "I don't want to be that guy," it was like, "I don't want to be that guy that swoops in as the rebound guy." And
for your best friend.
I can see that interpretation, yeah.
I mean, he's best friends with Jughead. That's his brother, essentially.
Did any of you guys, when he said that, read that?
I could understand that because there is like a little pause as he says that and then continues on with the sentence to make it kind of take it in a different direction. So I could definitely buy into that. And I thought for a moment, like, I bought that same interpretation.
Yeah, are they so like aware of the sparks already? But then the kiss happens and it's never addressed in the episode. The couples seem to kind of drift back together by the end of the week, and it seems like we'll open next week back up with that being like the momentum seems to be swinging back towards Varchie and Bughead again.
Well, I feel more with Varchie, less with Bughead. I feel like even though they gave each other Christmas gifts, it still feels like it's still a little bit more estranged
between the two of them. I think it's definitely.
They think they're maybe going to die by the mission they're going to go on, Betty and Archie. So, kiss, okay? That's what happens when people think they're going to die.
You think that's where the kiss came from?
Yes, I do.
Really? I just think the kiss came from, like, it was like a crisis moment, and Betty just like went in for the kiss.
I think it was a little bit of both, but I think there was something in her head that thought, you know, we might die, we could be hurt, so I just want to do this.
Yeah. Well,
that's what I got from it. I don't know. Let us know in the chat what you guys think, because that's what I thought.
Who do you guys think is prettier at this point, a season and a half into the show? The beginning of the show for me, Betty and Veronica, I was like, they're just both gorgeous and like they're perfectly cast. At this point, a season and a half in, I like Betty way more. That's just how I feel now.
Well, it's not about prettier or not prettier. I think it's the more dynamic person, right? That's more interesting.
I mean, I'm just talking about they're just like super attractive people cast in CW shows. Like, they're in season and a half in, like, who do you think is the, like, I don't know.
Or just basically just a superficial.
If I was judging in a beauty contest, Veronica's just so put together.
Classic looking.
All of the time. Yeah. Like, I just really dig her style. I think Betty is just an incredibly interesting person. The way she can flip into Dark Betty, but also be like kind of a super impressive journalist, too, slash detective. But I just. As much as I like Varchie, and I really do, I really just ship Betty and Archie. Like, they just seem, like, so classic Americana. Like, I want to know what their love like. Because to me, like, the drama is really interesting and it's fun. I'm excited to see what happens when Jughead finds out they kissed. It's going to be a beautiful mess. But I also want to see, like, what do they look like in a good place? Like, if there's a little less, you know, external force on their relationship. Like, I want to see them have a good and healthy relationship. So hopefully we get that.
Well, you can't ever discount that Betty Cooper knows how to fix a car.
That's true.
A great.
She does.
Sexy as hell.
That
right?
is. Yeah. That is.
Though they like barely established that. They just showed it like one scene one time. Kinda.
I know. I mean, okay, so I told everyone this before the show started on Spotify, Mad World, the song they sang last week that Archie and Veronica sang, and then Betty jumped in and stripped, and it was weird. but on Spotify, they have a version where it's Archie and Veronica, and then Betty comes in, the three of them sing together, and it just reminded me of the comics. Like, the three of them have perfect harmony in this song, and that's what the comics were about. It's like he would go from one to the other, but they were still best friends, and it's the story of the three of them.
Because Jughead's not like the fourth in a comic book. He is the fourth main character, but he's not like the fourth in the love quad at all.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
They created that for the show. He's a totally different character here than he is in that comic book.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It would be really cool if we could get the writers in, because I'm curious how much, like, I think Bughead was maybe bigger than originally anticipated.
Yeah.
Because it's an adorable ship, but people really took off with it. They love seeing those two together for obvious reasons. They have incredibly great chemistry.
And they're dating in real life.
Yeah, so it works. I'm curious if that had an effect on how they approach season two. Like, do we need to keep this couple around longer because people find them really interesting? Because you can always break them up season three or four.
It's
you know you're going to have that run.
And Tony Topaz, like, totally faded into obscurity.
Just what in
a,
and out.
What a quick storyline that
no,
was.
No, no, no. I think she will be back. She'll 100%.
They set Tony up, again, they've set Tony up to be, like, in season three or four, when if they get together, you'd be like, oh, okay, this makes sense. We've kind of dabbled with it. It's established in the storyline. But I kind of like the way she's become, like, big sister. She's like, do y'all even remember the laws? Okay, our number one law is a snake does not go alone.
So Taylor James in the chat said she always liked them better as friends. I don't know why. I just can't see them together. And this was when I read the comics. I just don't see it.
They're talking about Betty and Archie?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. That's cool. Fair.
I like them together.
I like Mr. Ooh answered Ben's question about who was sexier, Veronica or Betty. And he was like, Cheryl and Josie. And I was like, okay.
I know. I wish we didn't get any more of this episode at all.
I miss Josie.
This was
my
favorite. Freaking Christmas episode. Why didn't we have
up
Christmas
top, Sam.
Music from Josie?
Up
Jesus
top, you know.
That's a good point.
I know that the Pussycat Dolls. The Pussycats are feuding right now. It's like, I get it, but I just come back together. Like, I would have loved to have had like a Christmas makeup episode between the three of them.
Yeah, Frank was complaining about it the whole episode.
So. I was.
He was very upset.
Come on, get together.
Yeah.
Pussycats, let's do it.
So, all right, so that's, I think that's the probably most
yes,
of
Josie
the Archie
saying at the end. Thank
and
you. Sorry.
Betty storyline. That's like, I think, most of what we got. Though we probably will come back to it a little bit more.
Well, I mean, the fact that we get that Archie hops in a coffin.
Oh, yeah, that did happen.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, super awkward. Sorry. When she's like, sorry. Yeah. And she closes the coffin on top.
Which I don't know what the etiquette is.
So
what is the etiquette?
Point? Like, I have a gun to my head. I'm going to try not to throw dirt on your face. Like, that's the best I got.
I was
like,
surprised.
I'll see you later.
I was surprised that her move, she whacks him with the shovel. And then instead of continuing to hit him with the shovel and make sure he stays down, she gets Archie out of the coffin. But, like, you just hit him with a shovel and he's on the ground and he's trying to kill you. He's like, killed people. Keep hitting him with the shovel.
Yes.
The
Make sure he stays
can
down.
Easily remove his head from his shoulders. You just got to get enough downward thrust. Go ahead.
I mean, another reason why I feel like that's not really the Black Hood, because, like, you get wiped once with a shovel. I mean, if he's so intent on killing somebody, I mean, he's not going to just take off and run.
Right. Seriously.
Yeah.
Have you never seen a horror movie, guys? I mean, obviously. Hmm. But I get it. We needed to get Archie out because we can't have his abs die.
Right, of course.
That would be horrendous.
Show. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
That's right. The nervousness on Ben's face when he's like, oh my gosh, I may never see Archie's abs again was, I mean, it was palpable. During
right.
The,
you can literally read it on my face.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we find out that Fred Andrews has no money, that they're trying to sell Christmas trees to get some cash together. And this inspires Veronica to try to pay the medical bill. Before we get fully into that, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about Vikings. It is the exciting show going on right now on History. Joel, I know you're a huge fan of the show. I was watching a little bit of this earlier tonight. It premiered on November 29th. It's the fifth season. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers has joined the cast this season. It's getting rave reviews all over the place. The question this season is, who will rise? Everybody's talking about Vikings right now. History making a big push right now and definitely exciting people. There's hundreds of hosts at AfterBuzz here. And I mean, we've been doing these live reads across a lot of these shows on Vikings to get people excited. But it seems that a lot of the hosts here actually do watch the show. And I've heard a lot of great things about it.
That who's going to reign? Like, I wasn't quite sure how they were going to work it out because there's so many people vying for different thrones. But it's getting intense. Like, if you guys don't watch the show, now's definitely the time to check in, especially if you want to see strong, powerful lady leaders. It's beautiful.
True. Who will rise? That definitely played into this week's episode.
Yeah. You're a fan as well.
Oh, absolutely. Come on. We saw that.
Blood Eagle.
All right. Excellent. Let's continue through talking about Riverdale.
One thing I want to ask is, so Svensson is gone.
Rise, you want to ask?
I want to ask who's right. Ben, are you rising? So Svensson's missing from the school, but I do like that they, like, Riverdale's just got this resource, like, creepy janitors.
Yeah, they call
because the guy in the place is just as equally creepy. Like, all right, that's the only people you can get? Are just creepy dudes.
Totally creepy janitors. Yeah, it's great. So we get this great storyline going on with Veronica and her parents. And so they didn't actually explain at all.
No, they did not.
What the deal was.
And it wasn't illegal, though.
No, Veronica, they're like, plausible deniability. This is what you need to know about.
I kind of liked the way they did it, even though it's torturous as a viewer. Because you're like, oh, we're finally going to find out what their main plan is. Mid-season finale, it's great. It's going to be messy. And then we come back, and all they give you is Veronica's face. It's just like, I liked her little head tilt. I liked that it was something that she was definitely intrigued by.
She doesn't feel like she's totally right with it, though. You can see it in her face there at the end.
That's why she needs Archiekins to make her feel good again.
It's true. Get off of him. You've ruined it.
I'm torn, though, because I feel like if I want to get more invested in Veronica's struggle... as the rest of the season continues with this plan, it would be great to know what she's struggling it is.
Well, I feel like you will find out more about it. That's probably a big part of the second half of the season, I would think. But it was interesting that, well, first of all, I don't know what world we're living in where an $86,000 medical bill can be paid, and if Fred knows, and it's like that wouldn't just be the most like outrageously awkward and uncomfortable thing on Earth.
Wait, what part? Of it would be
well, unless Fred never finds out who paid it, and it's just an anonymous. But even if he did, it's such an outrageously large amount of money. It's like, who paid my $90,000 medical bill?
Honestly, if somebody was like, called me and was like, oh, hey, by the way, all your student loans are paid off, Angel, that's gonna be like, dope. If anybody knows who this is, let me know so I can thank them. Otherwise, I'm just really grateful to have this off of my head. Like,
if you lived in a small town with like 100 people and two of them were rich and one lost all their money, wouldn't you be like, I wonder who paid the bill?
Okay, so Optimistic Man in the chat said Archie is part of her dark plan with her parents.
Whoa,
and last week, though, when she goes, Archie said he loved me and I don't know, they were pushing the Archie on her. And you're like, why? Why would they be pushing? Because at first they didn't like him.
Well, then Hiram did say last week that he looked, look, you got this unknown killer out there. Archie's kind of a big, strong guy, and he's definitely devoted to you. And I think that Archie has done a lot to prove, at least from my perspective as like a sane, you know, law-abiding parent, you'd be like, yeah, this kid really enjoys my daughter. He seems to treat her with respect. Like, she could do worse.
For sure. Well, also, they do say the line, we'll need Fred for what comes next, which is a pretty important line. I mean, that's so there's some plan that Fred's a part of. And it's probably because Fred is like a good man that has the ear of the town. Mm. So I think that's, I would imagine what the, but maybe it's a specific part. Fred's going to be the patsy, and Veronica is getting back in with Archie. To, you know, so they can use the, but that seems too nefarious for Veronica.
Because I feel like even like as at the end of that episode or at the end of those scenes where they say, "Are you in?" and she goes, "You know, I'm in," but you can still see she does have a look of like, "Oh, geez,
I'm
I don't know, yeah, about this." So I can feel her reaching out to Archie's. It could be very much on the up and up about needing this as well.
Well, and if we revisit a couple episodes ago when there was the town meeting to figure out what to do about the Black Hood. Hermione and Hiram are back just enjoying the hell out of it. They're like, chaos. This is great. And of course, we know from next week's episode that the high school, Southside High School, gets shut down, which is, of course, going to bring a lot more chaos because we're going to have Southside in Northside territory. I honestly might think that their plan has something to do with like unifying Riverdale, but in a way that at the end, like, they're kind of the ruler slash leader.
So Charmed Original in the chat said, I wonder if Hiram and Hermione could actually be heroes and they are trying to save Riverdale from someone or something. But that just leads me back to the Black Hood and that he's trying to, like, clean Riverdale of all the sins. I still think that it's linked to Hiram.
Well, somebody in the chat just suggested that that Sheriff Keller was like, oh, there's a letter not written by the guy that just wrote this one. So that was suggesting that there's two Black Hoods and there's still one out there, which is maybe what some of the stuff at the end was suggesting. Like, who was taking those pictures? Who's taking the pictures of Archie and Veronica?
And why? Like, why do they care?
Yeah. Seriously. Weird. Creepy.
It's very Pretty Little Liars.
Well, and what's interesting about that moment was like, okay, that's not a sin. Like, them being together, unless Veronica's planning to do something against Archie, like, it doesn't fall within the Black Hood's wheelhouse. So it's a little, I'm very confused. It wouldn't surprise me if this is like an entirely third party kind of thing.
Right.
Not connected at all to the Black Hood.
Hmm. Well, speaking of kissing, though, to hop back to Archie and Betty.
Yeah.
Do we think that Cheryl clearly saw Betty and Archie kissing in there?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's going to be a thing.
Why bother showing that shot if she didn't see anything?
She wants to cause mischief. She always does.
You know, Betty and Cheryl have a lot more in common than we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
They both kind of have second personalities.
Right. Who's crazier? I think Betty's crazier than Cheryl in the end. Because Cheryl's, like, outwardly crazy, but I think Betty is, like, actually a little nuts on the inside.
Yeah, but I think Betty's got a better moral compass.
Cheryl's pretty crazy.
Cheryl's, you don't know what the hell she's going to do.
Yes.
Where's the belt?
Hashtag, where's the belt?
What's up? Oh, boy.
Mine? Hashtag where's the belt. So let's keep talking about the episode of this show that we're watching, not the chat that said hashtag where's the belt.
We're talking about Cheryl. Can we just talk about her family situation?
Crazy. Yes.
Who was she banging?
That was the Christmas tree guy.
Christmas tree sales guy that Archie passed her Cheryl onto when he had to go leave to help
out.
It's
a long fall, Mrs. Blossom. That is a long fall from you. Just wealthy ass. I mean, he essentially were with like a drug kingpin, and now the Christmas tree guy. Where is your are you trying to get out of life?
It was great that Cheryl's like, I don't know how you're going to pay for this. Maybe you can get a job working for the lodges, or they'll realize you have no skills other than being a terrible mother. You'll have to just figure it out. And you're in mind, you're like, well, what's she going to do? And then it's just like, she's just banging the Christmas tree guy. Yeah. I'm like, wow, we really went there that fast.
It's like you just want this Christmas tree money. You think it's enough?
She was paying for the Christmas tree by sleeping with the guy?
A little bit, yeah.
But he works for Fred, so he's like convincing her, just give that money to Fred.
I also feel like if you already have the Christmas tree stuff, didn't you have to pay for it? Already,
yeah, to get it.
Like the transaction must have already happened and cleared. So either she's banging him to get her money back, which is an interesting tactic. Hmm. I wouldn't try it. Or she's just that lonely. I feel like we don't know enough about Mama Blossom.
Yes, Mama Blossom did seem to heal quickly, though, right?
She did. Yeah. Other than that glove, I mean, she's like really bounced back.
Magic.
Yeah.
I mean, she could have probably spent the last of their money on a really good plastic surgeon.
But this money. Okay, just because the maple syrup actually meant drugs, where did the police and the government just take that money because they're supposedly poor? That's what I don't understand.
They do not address it, but if you are caught doing illegal activities, it is very easy for the government to just seize your assets.
Also, with TV, you can go from being super rich to super broke in an episode. That happens all the time.
I just feel like I missed that episode. I've watched every episode 10 times, as you guys know.
Like, weren't the lodges, like, broke?
Yeah, and now apparently they're using all the money they stole.
Yeah, or something. I don't know. They have all the money in the world now.
Yeah, Mr. Lodge can travel now. I was like, oh, your probation's over already? That's fast.
So let's talk about Jughead Jones, because that's the other big piece of this episode.
Jesus Christ.
So all kinds of stuff. Trying to prove himself to his dad. They take Penny Peabody out to Greendale. They cut her tattoo off her arm. Mm-hmm. Holy moly. That was intense.
It's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen on TV in my
life. Or the most epic.
Why? Because Jughead has no actual knowledge, I feel, about the way the serpents rule. And he literally
And you do.
Yes, I do. Do you not see my vest tonight, guys? It's leather.
But I feel like we just had this happen when your dad was in prison and you didn't stop to ask any follow-up questions.
Right.
For a kid who's so smart and always solving these crimes and always seeing things from multiple angles, how can you not be like, well, how does this one lady have so much power over my father? Which is still a question I'm asking. It's like, why is Hiram so afraid of her? What other power does she wield? Because it can't just be that she's like, could throw you back in jail. We know he can do jail stuff. Standing on his head. He's fine. So it's something clearly else is going on. And mutilating her like that, I bet she has people backing her, financially or muscle, but it's not going to be a good look.
She'll be in the wings for a while, but she'll come back and she'll be the big person that's behind some nefarious scheme. It'll be a big reveal in some episode that she's standing over, you know, like that's going to happen.
So you don't think that knife cut that we heard or whatever it was in the scene cut, actually, it probably was someone cutting her handcuffs. Because it's like, do you remember they said they were going to, like, kill her?
He exacted his pound of flesh, he said.
Yeah, he removed her tattoo from her arm.
We don't see it, though.
We don't, but I have a feeling he went. Do you think he went through with it? I thought he did.
That would be bonkers to see Jughead step up that far. It seems so crazy to me.
Seems really savage.
So, Dream to Aspire in the chat said, I was waiting for Alice versus Penny, not wannabe outsiders versus Penny.
Right.
I liked it. What I liked is that Jughead steps into his own as, like, a gang leader, especially given that his father kind of does give him no choices. I do wish he had asked more questions, but FP completely shut Jughead out. I know he broke your heart. I know he didn't listen to the rules you had laid down, but, man, you've got to know that you're pushing him right in the opposite direction by not being there to guide him through it.
Yeah, he went to prison, and he's 15.
And he was never there when we met Jughead at the beginning of the series. Mm-hmm. He was estranged from his father. He barely saw him ever. So why is he going to listen to him? It's ridiculous.
Well, for somebody that prides herself on having leverage in other people to get them to do what she wants, I felt like Jughead did not think this through. It's like the only way to beat somebody like that is you got to get leverage on her somehow.
Totally, mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't just drive her to Greendale and cut her arm.
Like, yeah, and say, you're not coming back. Well, it's great.
So well, she'll just drive back and then play the tape and send you to jail.
Yes.
And then her tattoo will heal in Greendale because it's magic.
Yeah, I mean, that part of it was definitely a little strange. Just the idea that like this like group of teenagers is just going to like take you and cut your tattoo off and then like leave you in Greendale?
Like, but also, like, man, after she was really pushing them around, giving them no options, but it was really nice to see Jughead be like, you know what? No, I'm done with this.
Yeah, right.
I've come to some conclusions and I'm going to make it work.
But he doesn't know enough about the consequences, about the history of the Serpents to do something like
it
that.
It was definitely not the smart move.
So
but
stupid.
It's good to see him doing something instead of just, like, hiding behind his typewriter. You know?
So what's the deal when they were all sitting at the diner at the end and Jughead's like, well, at least I got nothing. And then you can see on his face, it looks like he's thinking about something. It looks like something hits him, right? Was I alone in thinking that?
No.
Oh, I think maybe he's kind of like, are you surprised that he doesn't have anything for it?
I thought that maybe he realized that he knew something that he didn't want to share.
That Betty was batshit?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Could be.
I took it as maybe this is the first moment where Jughead hasn't had something to say. You know what I mean? Like, there was no point. From what we know so far, there's no point to these murders, truly. Like, it wasn't the guy who was killed seeking revenge. It wasn't, you know, it didn't help anyone in the town. Nothing was revealed. Like, a bunch of people just died, and it was awful. And I think maybe that was his point. It was just like, I don't have any, there's no conclusion to this. It doesn't make us better or worse. It's just an awful thing that happened to us.
Was the shot on the black hood, just to be clear, was it Archie or was it Sheriff Keller?
I thought it was Sheriff Keller.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Because you pan over to Sheriff Keller and he had the gun. It's almost like that Die Hard moment there.
The classic.
Boom. Yep. Yeah.
I thought, okay, I'm glad you cleared that up because I thought it was
Archie.
It's
a classic action movie move.
Yes.
We see that all the time. Mm-hmm. Happens at the end of Road to Perdition.
Although I feel like Sheriff Keller could have shot to wound instead of to kill. Like, his legs are just right there at eye level.
I'm going to have to rewatch it because I thought it was Archie, and I think that having killed somebody for Archie would take some dire consequences on his character, which could be interesting to follow.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure that it was Keller. It might have been Archie.
No, it was Keller.
100%?
100%.
Keller Kins.
100%.
Archie Kins.
Well, maybe it was Archie.
Keller Kins, the sheriff, is getting reelected because he caught the black hood, and I really appreciate that. He's totally going to get back in office.
The only good thing he ever did. Also, how on earth was he there?
He is not innocent, you guys.
You know, how was he there? Is he the black hood, actually?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Because we hear the siren, but nobody has called.
What happened? What? There was no gunshot?
Initially, I thought Archie pulled the same stunt he pulled with Jughead a couple episodes ago, where he called beforehand, and they would have addressed something like that. I'd be like, what's going on? Oh, I call him.
Megan versus
Betty called him.
Oh, Betty said they would call him on the way.
Oh, okay. Thanks for clearing that up, guys. I totally missed that.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. All right. So let's talk a little bit more about the couples. Let's figure out where we think they're going to be, because at the end of this episode suggested that there's, you know, Varchi seems like it's a thing that's coming back next episode. That doesn't really seem like it's going away, even though Archie, I could tell before she said I love you too, which was a big moment, I felt like he was pretty skeptical.
As I think anyone would be, like, this just, for overnight your feelings to change, it's just a little weird, and especially as a television viewer, as she's watching, like, him and Betty together, I honestly think this is more coming from a place of jealousy. Of
totally.
Like, oh, no,
totally,
but I had him first, and now he's drifting away. And she even says, you're such a good guy. You're, like, filled with it. But him being the nicest person you know does not make him, like, the love of your life.
Well, also because the whole Swiss Family Robinson gift. And she didn't see it, and there was that moment, the kiss. And then with Betty and Jughead, I feel like he's like, maybe I'll call her, I'll text her, and it's like, thanks for choosing me your favorite writer, and the letters is like, love Jughead. I feel like they're pushing us both back in those two couples' directions.
Because I feel like when FP says, Isha, you want to go over and say hi, say thank you in person? He's like, no, I'll just call or text. I mean, that definitely says, like, that to me doesn't feel like they're being pushed back.
Yeah.
I thought FP wanted to go see Alice.
Oh.
Hey, want to go over and thank her? No? Yeah. Okay, cool. Never mind.
You're all in on that.
It'll be a hot totally double fine. Date for sure.
Are you kidding me? Of course I'm all in on it.
It's an adorable relationship. I really want it. Because again, mess. I love the mess. But yeah, I think Jughead made it pretty clear. He chose the Serpents. Right. Like, especially in this episode, he gets that whole really great speech of, like, I'm proud of who I am, and this whole life you didn't want for me, I found it, and I feel good here. And I don't think that he believes Betty can be a part of that. Like, it's too dangerous. It's not the direction that she's going. He gets her, you know, for Christmas, a book by her favorite author. Like, she's going on a different track, and I think that he's kind of made that decision for them, that they're just not going to be together right now.
Mm. Do you think FP bought Jughead's impassioned plea to him? He's like, oh, yeah, all right. I'm all in on this. We'll work together. Or he's like, do you think he's still going to be
standoffish? I still think FP doesn't want his son anywhere near this. I think FP is like, I messed up. I think he's probably more frustrated than anything about the fact that, like, him being in jail allowed Jughead to fall into the serpents.
I think he bought in, but I also think that he knows there's no... He wants his son to write. He wants him to do more. And I think he realizes that if he just lets him become a part of the serpents, he's never going to leave Riverdale, and he's just going to sink into that world.
Can we talk about parents for a second and Archie's mom? That red flag to me. She's on a singles cruise during this holiday season.
Yep.
Really? After everything that's happened, you know, ex-husband's been shot and they're still very close. It's the holiday season. You're going to go on a singles cruise? That scares me. It's not right.
In what way?
It's not right, of course, in the literal way, but also she would want to be there. I think she's guilty somehow.
You think she's the Black Hood?
Maybe, yes.
Molly Ringwald being the Black Hood would be it. That's like a twist
behind
I need.
Behind the Black Hood.
That is a twist I could get my teeth into. Yeah, about that.
Why would Fred be like the first person that was the Black Hood's victim?
Because it's her ex-husband.
No,
and I'm sure she had
not
her reasons. Pissed,
yeah.
I don't know.
No, because that comes out that she's associated with the Black Hood. Archie never speaks to her again.
No, never. I mean, it's not like she even wants to talk to him right now anyways. She's on a singles cruise.
They were talking to her at the end of the episode.
Hey, Mom. She's like, just trying to cover her ass.
Hey, I'm just looking at a bunch of hot guys.
I'm on a singles cruise somewhere. Yeah. I just think
Molly Ringwald is expensive and they needed an excuse to not have her on just yet.
Well, it was a little weird to me.
The singles cruise is a little bizarre at Christmas. You're like, damn, Ma, that desperate? Like,
what the hell is a singles cruise like? Here's my question. Like,
I don't know.
A singles cruise, especially if it's like a singles cruise when you're in your 40s, I just imagine it. I'm like, you show up and you get on this boat and it's literally just everybody eyeing each other up.
Right? It's IRL That's Tinder. Mm-hmm.
Immediately. Like, it sounds like a nightmare. It sounds frightening. Like, I just can't imagine walking in somewhere where it's like literally everybody is in this one closed space. None of us can leave.
In the middle of the ocean, yeah.
That's because you're in like a happy, committed relationship. If you're single in your 40s and divorced, it's hard out here. I feel like this would be great. I just tick this off really quick. Not you, not you, not you. Maybe you. Definitely not you.
Sure.
It'd be nice.
Yeah, everybody knows what you're there for. You don't have to worry about, you know, like...
Kal-El can't. She will meet Sabrina in the cruise. Fair. On the cruise.
Anything else we want to cover in this episode before we get into predictions?
Let me see everything I wrote in all caps, which was, you know.
Can we just talk about like the Secret Santa thing that Kevin decides to do it at just like the couches at the high school?
Yeah.
That was so weird to do that as a Secret Santa, like as like an FU to all the other students at the school. Like, yeah, we're really close and we give each other gifts.
We're the only
group
that matters.
Well, also speaking of the Secret Santa, the locket that Veronica got from Archie, I legitimately do not think that he gave that to her. I think that her parents gave that to her.
Whoa.
Oh, snaps.
And it's
I feel
creepy.
Like you need to be a writer on this show.
Guys,
these twists are amazing.
But they're so pro Archie now, and it's weird. And they said, you know, that they needed Fred for things, and they were pushing when the whole love thing last week. I don't know. I don't think Archie gave it to her.
Mm. I can see that because at least with Betty and Jughead, they both said, like, oh, I got you something. Oh, I got you something too.
Right.
I had no time when Veronica gives that to Archie. He just said, oh, I got something I'll give you later.
Right.
He doesn't mention that at all.
Interesting.
Exactly.
All right, guys, let's get into predictions for the back half of the season. Nice. Way to go.
Now, you're after Buzz TV.
So what do we think?
What do you get, Mr. Ben?
The season's going to end with Betty and Archie together.
Ugh. I'm not just all jazzed
about
that.
Yes.
It's going to end.
Why don't you want America's couple to be together?
I have no idea.
Because you're not like a Bughead shipper,
no,
really. But
I also feel like round-robin relationships work well in comic books. I feel like you can make that kind of like, all right. I just feel like round-robin, when you put it in live action with people, it just... There's only so many permutations where it just starts getting like.
I don't know. Friends is like one of the most successful shows of all time. And they like, I mean, I'm only halfway through to be honest, but I'm pretty sure they all hook up with each other at some point. Like,
not all. No.
I literally just rolled my eyes at you. I was like, halfway through. Are you kidding me? I'm like 10 times halfway.
Yeah,
through.
Definitely. Joey never hooks up with anybody.
Okay, don't ruin it for me right
I'm
now.
So sorry.
I'm literally
so sorry.
Halfway through.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, you just I can't believe
No, but it's actually not. Just keep watching.
So yeah, I
know that's not true. I keep
predictions. Sabrina's not coming on the show. I felt a significant shift in tone somewhere in the middle of this Black Hood thing, and I imagine that's when they started making the deal for the CW. I think that's why they announced that stuff now. I'm hella disappointed. Like, I can't wait for the Netflix Sabrina because it's going to be, like, outlandishly good. But I don't think we're going to get any kind of magical stuff in Riverdale anymore.
So I do. Okay. Netflix
Keep
is not alive. Affiliated with any network. Okay. They can do whatever the hell that they want.
They can't break
and
the rules.
Why do they keep on bringing up Greendale? Okay. Why do they keep on showing green eyes and weird magical innuendos?
Is Greendale where Serena's from? Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Got it.
So I think that that is for sure happening. They'll find some way to bring it all together. I also think that Hermione and Hiram probably aren't actually in love. We got the reference last week that Veronica never heard that. And it might be some kind of brought together, arranged situation that they're going to try to do with Archie and Veronica.
I think that Hiram and Hermione love each other. I just don't think that they show it in a standard American way of like, oh man, I love you, and hugs and kisses. They show it by like taking over town slowly together. I feel like they have like a power trip relationship where they're like, oh my God, honey, you're like just the best. We're going to outsmart all these dumbos. We're clearly the best.
It is an interesting, you mentioned the tonal shift this season. Mm-hmm. It's interesting thing about season one versus season two and some of the changes. Like, Hermione seemed like a much more like real character in the first season. This season, she really just seems like she's kind of part of this power duo, and that like everything she did in the first season was just like false.
Mm.
Thinking about her relationship to Fred, that felt much more like a real TV relationship where like they had history. You could tell she was still attracted to this like small town guy who was an honest worker. But then, Hiram comes back and she's like not a real character anymore. Like, there's never Hermione moments anymore.
Kind of like she's in a bit of an abusive relationship.
Or something.
Like, I feel like because she's in the background now. And even though we occasionally see her filmed in power positions, a lot of times she's sitting ahead of Hiram or whatever. I still think she's the godmother. I think that because Hiram is who he is and he's so powerful and so into himself and his plan, I think that she's not capable of speaking up just yet. I would really like to see her just pull the rug out from under his feet. I want her to make a side deal with her kid and be like, okay, look, we're taking your dad down now. It's over. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I would really value that storyline.
And they could be building that, but it's interesting thinking about the plans they probably had going into season one, that it was this runaway hit and so much momentum. Mm-hmm. Shows like this don't happen that often, where you have that buzz show. It's on the cover of all the teen magazines. Mm-hmm. Like
OC, Gossip Girl. I mean,
those are the ones. I mean, Vampire Diaries was like that, and you definitely. I feel like Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, I'm sorry,
Teen Wolf maybe
was like that. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have these shows that occasionally catch fire, but like, I mean, I was at Comic-Con. This was the show. This was everywhere. It was. Like when the Riverdale kids were walking anywhere, it was like part the seas, you know what I mean? So I definitely feel like there was a lot of pressure for this season to be a big deal, and I think it's been good, but I don't feel like it's quite as it's not as focused or as strong as season one to me so far.
Well, it's interesting because they've increased the episode order, mm-hmm. but I feel like there's a lot of characters that are really completely underserved in this, and I don't know if that's just the nature of having a mystery and a serialized thing that you kind of focus on just like the core people that are just closest to it. But then if you see like Kevin, Josie, even Cheryl to a lesser extent, there are characters that are really touched on, not to mention a lot of the adults as well too, where it's like, it's always my least favorite thing where it is a teen drama, but the adults could be interesting and captivating too. And I felt like the OC did a good job of kind of balancing that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I feel like this does not do a good job of like. Well, I mean, Luke Perry just shows up and says, "Hey, here's some food. Hey, what's going on, Archie?"
Right.
But then that's it. Like he's there's a lot he could do.
Season one felt like it had a little bit more.
Yes.
Yeah, and if you guys haven't seen The Runaways on Hulu, it's super cool, and it does a very great job of being even of both the parents and the children.
Yes.
And I feel like that's what this show is getting to. I think that we're kind of like putting the parents behind the scenes right now because they actually are behind the scenes and they are orchestrating things.
I mean, we have a sophomore slump. I honestly think that's just what it is. It's like they had like an amazing, stellar first season. They were going to come back with a new murder mystery. The thing that made season one so good is everyone had a relationship to Jason. And so there was a way to explore all of the characters and their dynamics with each other. But also you got a great sense of pain because he was a friend, he was a brother, and you could deal with that. But with this killer, like there's no one knows what's happening.
Yeah.
And so that emotional connection just isn't quite there. I think that whatever mystery they move on to next or however they decide, like whether there's a second Black Hood or somebody was orchestrating it, or even if they move on to a completely different mystery, as long as it's grounded within the community and we can get back to those really, because I miss like the Hermione Fred tension.
Me too,
like
yeah.
I liked when we were getting Mrs. Cooper and Forsythe like together and seeing like what that dynamic was like. And I want to be more in on the plans. Like I want to know how. Like I would. It would have been really cool to see Fred open that letter.
Yeah.
Even like just to get those small moments of like, okay, $80,000 and I have to send this kid to school soon. And how do I do all of these things? Like just as you were saying, like more real moments with the parents.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if I would go as far as to call it a sophomore slump because I actually think it's been a pretty strong season.
The past three episodes before I think were amazing. I think their opening and their finale for the mid-season finale weren't as great. But the ones in the middle, I've loved the past three episodes.
There's been a lot of really good episodes this season, no doubt.
Like last week's episode was my favorite of the whole series so far.
Was last week's the one
the murder where they're doing the vignettes.
Yeah, that was a great episode. Like the one
before was
amazing. Horror centric with Tony Todd. That was a great episode. I mean, there's been a lot of really good episodes this season. It's just what it does feel like is that they increased the episode count and they had to fill some space.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have to expand it. They have to make it bigger. So, anyway, that's going to wrap us up right now, unless anybody else has anything else to say.
You're awesome.
Thanks, Frank.
Appreciate it. We love
you
guys.
You guys.
And we still love this show. Of course we do.
Huge fan. Still my favorite show on TV, if I haven't said that already. I can't wait to come back January 17th for, is it 17? I think it's January 17th.
Yeah.
For the back half of season two. We're going to work hard to try to get some guests on here for you guys. Work on that. So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for being here with us. Folks, where can they find you guys?
Mr. Ben, people can find me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJack.
Mr. Bateman, everyone can find me, Joel Monique, all of the internet at Joel Monique, and every week at blackgirlnerds.com. And I have a spoiler-free review up. I started a new Tumblr page called Joel Reviews. So check that out.
Awesome. I'm going to actually check that out ASAP. You guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at samdavidsonentertainment.com, Twitter and Instagram at samd43. And as you know, I freaking love talking about this show almost as much as Ben does.
Freaking love it. You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and on Instagram and here on AfterBuzz TV. I'll be back in the early part of the winter doing Walking Dead and this for the second half of the seasons. And on Wednesdays, every single week, doing Action Movie Anatomy on the Popcorn Talk Network. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. See you guys soon.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The janitor did it.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.